Today on Wings, Alexandrine Benjamin, an award-winning young Haitian filmmaker, tells how she came to produce her award-winning short film about a pregnant Haitian couple traversing the countryside by motorcycle during an uprising in search of a safe place to give birth.
The desire to create that specific film came out of frustration.
Haitians' frustrations are generally over broken government promises, fueled by well over 200 years of constant international interference. Stay tuned.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Suki Wessling, host of The Babelry, produced this program for Wings.
Independent filmmaker Alexandrine Benjamin was born and raised in Haiti. She made her way through school, eventually got a master's in film from the University of Greenwich in Great Britain, and she currently lives in Puerto Rico. But the heart and soul of her filmmaking is the country of her birth. When she speaks about taking action to change things, it's not empty talk. Her early work was on a television show promoting literacy in Haiti, and her first film is Not Boule, a short drama about a couple trying to get to the hospital to give birth.
Not Boule tells the story of Jean and Rose, a modest Haitian couple who embark on a perilous journey during Pays-Loc, solely to find a hospital where they can give birth safely. On their small bike, you know, riding through unpaved roads, they had to face like roadblocks. They are threatened with gunfires. And, you know, they had to face so many hardships. But even despite that, they persevere. The film was set during the Pays-Loc, which is a social political movement that emerged in Haiti back in 2018, I think. You know, about $4 billion that went missing, and people wanted to know what happened with the money. So they started a whole movement, and that movement turned into a violent series of events where people would get gunned down or kidnapped.
The film takes place during a time that Haitians refer to as Pays-Loc, or locked down country. Alexandrine explains with more detail what happened during this time.
You know, Haiti, I mean, the country is known for very rebellion, you know, country. So we have suffered from a lot of injustice from other nations, you know, people with very bad intentions. So we tend to, you know, just stand against stuff very rapidly. But that particular movement, which is Pays-Loc, is something that for the first time in my whole life, I've seen Haitian people align behind a specific thing, you know? So the whole country, we had movement in every of the 10 departments, and people, they wanted retribution. They wanted to understand what happened with that money. And then suddenly, nobody understood what was happening, you know, because we had some people who they were, you know, they weren't that as involved as they were before. And then they started to, you know, just discrediting the movement. And it all went sideways. And it's hard because the only thing that we wanted was to, you know, understand what happened to that money. And we thought, I thought, that this was going to be a starting point for us as a nation to get people to deliver what they promised and to, you know, give report. Because politicians, elected people in Haiti, they do not report to Haitians, unfortunately. And we are not used to ask, you know, like, force people to give us to work because that's why what we're electing them for. So over the years, you know, the movement just died, which is a shame because so many people lost their lives over this. I went to several protests myself. I've lost friends, you know, during that protest. So it was supposed to be rewarding at the end, but we still don't know what happened to the money.
Haiti currently has no functioning parliament and is governed by a transitional presidential council. Gangs control neighborhoods and whole cities. Many Haitians, like Alexandrine, have fled Haiti. The political situation has led to a breakdown in systems of care, especially for pregnant Haitian women. Alexandrine's short feature, Not Boulé, has Pays Loc as a backdrop as Jean and Rose journey through their city, experiencing robbery, abuse, and a gunshot to Jean's leg. But their destination, a safe place to give birth, is the point of the film.
When they finally got into the hospital where the suffering should end, it wasn't the case because the staff were worsening their situation because they refused to provide them with the necessary care. And, you know, it's a very pregnant story, but it's authentic. It reflects our reality back then and even more so today.
Before the current unrest, Haiti was already in crisis with their maternal mortality rate, which has been estimated at around 350 deaths per 100,000 births after the devastating 2021 earthquake. Alexandrine says that women who were able would cross into the Dominican Republic to give birth, but the DR has secured the border in response to widespread violence in Haiti. Now Haitian women must navigate unsafe living conditions, dangerous streets, and expensive hospital care in order to get treatment. Doctors Without Borders, Médecins Sans Frontières, runs clinics in some of the most affected areas, where hospitals have been closed due to violence, but current services don't meet the needs of the population. Alexandrine relates how a canceled family visit while she was studying film at the University of Greenwich inspired the story.
The desire to create that specific film came out of frustration. It was winter of 2020 actually. I had been away for a while studying in London, and it started to be cold, like very cold, and I do not like cold. So I wanted to go back to Haiti, like spending Christmas with my friends and family. But I couldn't because all of the violence going on would prevent me to. And, you know, at the time, several neighborhoods in the capital were blocked by armed bandits. And the road leading to Jacmel, my hometown, was closed through Martissant, which is like, you know, a very big neighborhood region in Port-au-Prince. So, you know, I started to vent with a friend, you know, he's now my husband, about how such action could impact so many aspects of people's life in Haiti, especially pregnant women. And that's when he told me that he had written a short treatment for a story similar to this and asked if I wanted to develop it. And, you know, at the time I was working on my final thesis, the subject for my final thesis, and I just jumped on the opportunity because I really saw how, you know, the potential, because, you know, I was studying in London. I know producing a film with the university would have the opportunity to show it to so many places in the world. And I thought, yeah, this is the best way to do it.
Getting support to shoot a film in a country with no functioning government was difficult, but the project was greenlighted and Alexandrine started work from across the ocean with her actors and technical crew.
It was crazy, you know, to be honest. Everybody, like the university members, my families, my friends, they all advised me not to go back, like, you know, and to shoot that specific movie. I remember the university, they wanted to let me use their equipment, but the insurance company said, no, they won't allow their equipment to go to such a country with some, imagine me, a whole person, like going there. But, you know, I have a lot of friends, a lot of people who believe in me. I also have my former film school. You know, I had very good relationship with them. And when I went to them with the idea, they all agreed to support me. And I didn't go back to Haiti until a month before the shoot. So I had to like work remotely with everybody from, you know, the main characters, my team, the head of department, like director of photography, sound man, director of production design, the production designer, my assistant director, production manager, everybody. And let me tell you, those people, they made Nambule. And if it weren't for them, this movie wouldn't be. When I was ready to go back to Haiti, everything was like set. I just had to visit, you know, the locations.
Shooting the film turned out to be a drama of its own.
During shooting, things went sideways. I mean, I wasn't like, it's not like I was surprised, because I know, you know, what the country was like. And that's actually the reason we decided to shoot in Jacmel, which is the southern part of Haiti, because most violence was happening in Port-au-Prince. So we thought, you know, shooting in Jacmel, I am from Jacmel, my friends, my team, my crew members, they are all from Jacmel, so we're going to be fine. But that, you know, it didn't happen like that. Some people, powerful people in Haiti, in Jacmel, when they see you with a camera, they are afraid that you are going to show, you know, what they are doing underneath. So we were attacked like two, three times, I think. One time a guy came on the set and he pulled out a gun and he said that we had to stop. And I was like, I was like, who are you? And because he came and asked who is responsible. Hold on, for some reason, someone came to get me from set. So I went out and I was like, yeah, that's me. You know, I'm studying. I'm producing this short film for my, you know, thesis project. And then he was like, I'm not interested in what you're saying. I just need you guys to back it. You know, just fake it. I don't want you here. I was like, but who are you? Because we have permission from, you know, the mayor's office, from the police department. And he was like, I am an authority. I am a chief, you know, like, but I'm trying to get someone to get me my authorization. He's like, look, lady, I need you out of here. So I just went back to the team and be like, guys, you're not going to finish it today. I asked him for about an hour to just wrap. He's like, you have 30 minutes. So we wrapped up and, you know, we just left the scene. And that's it. And I remember another time we were doing the scene where the tires are being burned. And then a guy came and he was like, I mean, what are you doing? This is my neighborhood. I govern here. You know, you can't be here without my permission, something like that. And it was crazy. And that's actually one of the reasons we were able to shoot everything that we were supposed to shoot. And in the middle of this, the former president, Jovenel Moïse, was assassinated. So we had to stop production for about 3 days. And I mean, I wasn't even sure that we were going to be able to complete the film, because we weren't sure of what was going to happen after that assassination. But my team was like, no, we came too far. We can't just, you know, we can't just leave everything and just, no, we can't. So we stopped for about three days actually, and then we resumed production. So yeah, basically, you know, we were able to shoot the essential, but production wasn't easy at all.
Madame, moi qui enceinte, besoin accoucher. S'il vous plaît, madame, fais mon médecin. Un docteur, s'il vous plaît.
Madame, mon gondo, c'est ici, là.
Non, pas gagné, non.
I'm your host, Suki Wessling, and you're listening to Wings. We're speaking with Alexandrine Benjamin, a Haitian filmmaker whose first film, Napoule, takes place in Haiti during a period of unrest known as Pays Loc. Alexandrine had hired actors whose work she knew from theater, and she had hoped for more time for preparation. It turned out, however, that the perilous life that her actors had been living was preparation enough.
We stayed at the same hotel. We worked for about 2 weeks, I think, you know, just really to get to know each other and for them to get the chemistry going too. Because to me, I mean, for a film like Napoule, which is something that we all live every day in Haiti, I don't think the acting is really necessary. You just need to get to understand the situation you're in, you know, understand the reality, and then you just let it flow. So We rehearsed a couple of scenes, which was the one on the motorcycle. We rehearsed the opening scene. We also rehearsed the one where the gang members slapped Rose.
Alexandrine Benjamin's own story starts with a strong female role model and a necessity to stand up for herself.
I came from a family of 3 children. I am in the middle. But we all have sisters. You know, our fathers were never there. You know, so my mom, she educated us, you know, the way she could. She is a very strong woman. I mean, I've seen my mom doing so many things. As an adult now, I just don't understand how she managed to do all of this. And in the middle of that was the fact that we somehow helped educating ourselves as well, because she was traveling often, you know, trying to go buy stuff so that she can resell, stuff like that. And we would stay at home. And I've witnessed a lot of injustice in a whole yard. That's how people live in Haiti. We have like big courtyard with many different households. And I witnessed so many injustices that I developed that rebellion aspect of not doing exactly what people tell me to do. Like, I become an adult very young, okay? So I had to figure this out by myself and try to go places, to speak to people, to read, to do so many stuff so that I could help raise myself with my mom, okay? Mm-hmm. So I guess that's how I got into activism, you know, because there was a lot of beatings, you know, husbands beating their wives, parents beating their kids so hard. It was very sad, frustrating at the same time. So, you know, I started to find a purpose, you know, just make myself useful to something. And I got into activism and later got into filmmaking. Because, you know, people, they like to ask me this question, how did you get into filmmaking? Like, it's or not. I didn't get into creating movies because, I wanted to do art. I wanted to help. And I just realized that filmmaking can help with that. And I decided to do filmmaking.
Alexandrine remembers one particular couple who shaped her consciousness about the plight of women in Haiti.
There was that couple. They rent a room from my mom. They weren't married, but they were together and they have a child. And then the woman, she is a very nice woman, you know. She would stay at home, prepare food for her husband when, you know, the guy is back. And every single day the guy is back, he just keeps beating for no reason. He would get his, how do you say, homosexual? Let me find out. This is very important. I need to know.
His belt?
Belt. Thank you. He would get his belt, you know, and start beating the lady for no reason. And she would cry so hard. And my heart was, the guy, he was like child. There wasn't much I could do. But the worst part was the fact that there were other people in the area. They would just stare. I mean, in our culture, I mean, maybe some things have, you know, have changed. But back then, your husband was allowed to beat you. So if someone finds out that you are getting beaten by your husband, their first question is, what did you do? You know, like they're trying to justify the reason why you're getting beaten. And I was like, that woman is an adult. She isn't supposed to get beaten because whatever she did, she just doesn't deserve that, you know? So I started to get involved with advocacy organizations, working with gender equity and stuff like that, trying to educate myself and then go back to my community and try to, you know, talk to people. way older than me, you know, but trying to help them understand that, okay, so if something is happening, you know, maybe you can try to, you know, speak up, you know, like have a conversation with that person to understand, but that, you know, your wife isn't like some charm. You can't keep beating your wife like this, you know? So this really stayed with me for a long time because it wasn't like a situation. It will happen often, you know, in different households, but it was very common. And I wanted to help. I don't know if I helped, but I know I spoke to a lot of people. Some of them wouldn't like listen to me, but I know that particular lady, she fled the town. She I don't know where she went. Oh, I heard she went to the R. But I left that place for a while. When I came back, she wasn't there. They told me that she went away, and you know, she just, and I was so happy for her because I know this can't be good.
Haiti's history has been one of conquest and domination. Alexandrine Benjamin's view is that as much as Haitians have been supported by organizations from outside the country, they won't be able to move forward until they start to define themselves for themselves.
One thing is that we need to stop studying or educating kids with books that are from outside, you know, because most schools in Haiti, I mean, we have a lot of congressional schools. They have books that came from outside, and that is what they use to educate children. And the culture that we are being taught is not really authentic. So if we don't really know who we are, if we don't get the authentic version of the Haitian history, it's going to be really hard, you know, to appreciate who we are and where we came from. Mm-hmm. And just last month, I think there was like a big, discussion on the internet about an economist who said something about, you have to stop. How can I put it? Should I talk about that? It's complex, you know. I mean, the way I see it, he meant the fact that we need to do something and stop relying on what our ancestor did, you know, because it was 1804. So we need to start doing something for ourselves. And people weren't happy at all. They thought that he meant that we need to forget about them and stuff like that. But in fact, Haitians, it's a very complex nation. You know, our past, I believe, interfere with, you know, our daily lives, and we don't even realize it, you know, some kind of behaviors that we may have, for example, not trusting each other. This is a very big issue in Haiti. We do not trust each other. And you certainly know that any good relationship starts with believing, trusting each other. If I don't trust you, I can't have a good collaboration with you. You know, there is nothing good we can do because we are still waiting for when you're going to do something that will like hurt me because we've been hurt so much in the past. How do you get that out of the Haitian mind? Because we're not even aware that we are like that. You know, it's not even a thing for us. And I think every Haitian we should include therapy as part of the curriculum in Haiti, you know, because we are so ill and we do not know that. We need treatment. We need to treat ourselves. We need love. You know, we need understanding from each other. And the amount of violence that is going on in Haiti right now came from that. Because we suffered so much from a tiny part of people who believe that they are the one that Haiti's profit, everything is theirs. And those people with their guns, to me, it is their way of reacting to that injustice. And now that they have tested power, they do not want to hold back. And I mean, miracles exist. That's a good thing, because where we are, I'm not sure how we are getting out of it. Haitians, they get food easily, and they can't understand. I mean, they feel like there will be some kind of savior coming to save them when we are supposed to save ourselves. I mean, I know that some of our policies, you know, in Haiti, it's like a cake. Everybody is trying to get their part. But Haitians shouldn't let the political state of another country impact our country the way it is right now, because we are a nation and we took our freedom for a reason, you know? So we should be our primary support, you know? We should be the one standing for our people and take actions in Haiti to change things.
Not Boulay was Alexandrine's final thesis for her film program at University of Greenwich. Though she says it was hard to be away from home in a place where she saw very few Black people and was the only Black student in her program, the film ended up being more important than the degree.
The most interesting thing is that I completed those studies and I met Nat Boulay. Nat Boulay it's not just a project. I think for the past 3 years, Nat Boulay has been some kind of therapy for me, you know, allowing me to connect with people every now and then. And it keeps me grounded, you know, reminding me why I decided to make the choices that I made. And that even though it can be hard now, you know, but at some point, I'm going to get to where I am. I meant to, you know, it's very important for me to keep creating content that can impact people's lives in a positive way. Even though now I cannot exactly do what I'm supposed to be doing, but, you know, things will change.
Thanks to Alexandrine Benjamin for sharing her experiences and her vision of how Haiti could be. Learn more at alexandrineb.com. Her next project will be a feature film called O Negatif about the impact of HIV in Haiti. This is Suki Wessling of The Babblery at babblery.com. Thanks for listening.
Music and sound effects in this program are from Alexandrine Benjamin's award-winning film, Nat Boulay. A longer version of this interview will be released in Suki Wessling's podcast series, The Babblery. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be viewed online at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle Is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Radio. It's Burnaby. Bum, 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 bum.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.